minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 164. Good morning.
Boom. It's Friday, baby.
It's a Friday fun one.
Yeah. I'm in a good spot, Joshy boy.
In life?
Yeah, well, 29, last day of being 20. This is my last, 16 hours or whatever it is of being 29. And the last podcast that I'll do ever at 29, and you, before 30 tomorrow.
So if we want to get the press releases about two guys in their 20s, I'll have to get on it today.
Maybe that's the episode name, Two Guys in Their 20s.
A podcast in their 20s. The last show with two guys in their 20s.
Yeah. Real clickbait, like we're finishing it. But no, I'm feeling good. I'm looking out. I'm in a car park. It always sounds a bit seedy because there's a lot of seedy things that go on in car parks.
In St Kilda?
Well, along the coast. They call them...
Along
the coast. Well... It's the bay here in Melbourne.
You're doing the Great Ocean Road. Did you wake up in the morning and drive to the 12 Apostles to do the show?
No, I've driven to a place called Greenpoint in Brighton. I used to drink here as a kid. I came here as an adult, and now I podcast here as a 29-year-old. And it looks out back towards Melbourne. You can see the city skyline. It's pretty amazing. If you just type in Beach Boxes Brighton, which is like a famous landmark for tourists coming from Asia, there's like literally buses of people that come here, tourists, and walk down and look at these little houses on the sand, which is totally bizarre.
And people own them, right?
Oh, man, these things are worth... like I'm looking over there, there would be almost... $5 million worth of little shacks, and they're tiny, and they're about $600,000 each. I think one went for about $600,000. It's ridiculous.
Is it seen as a bit of a donation to the council? Is that how it's sort of pitched, or where does that money go?
No, it's rich people that actually just want to go down and have a little spot that they can stay off the sand or have... beach toys. Like, there's beach boxes all around the bay. Beach toys.
So dumb.
Yeah, mate, it's because you've never been to the beach in your element.
The one thing, think about it though, like if you're going to store something somewhere, what's the one thing that you would avoid if you were finding a storage place?
Cost, like super high cost?
No, not only the cost, but like the water, like the salty water and the like the corrosion or whatever you call it. Like, it's worst possible place to store anything. Everything's going to be fucked by the end of it.
It's like they say about boat owners. The best.
What do they say about boat owners?
Well, I'm not a boat owner, so I don't know entirely, and I might get it wrong. But it's like. The best thing about owning a boat is the day you sell the boat, or something like that, which means it's a nightmare for the owner, but for the people that know the owner, it's great. And I've known a few owners of beach boxes, not these ones, the ones I'm talking about. The exorbitant price is the ones that are like so close to the city. The ones down the coast, like an hour and a half away, they get a lot cheaper. And a friend of mine, he owns a share in one, and we've gone and sat there and drank beers, sunset, you take your chairs. It's unbelievable. Like, it's a good experience when your mate owns it and you don't have to pay the money. But it's been broken into about 10 times. It's been vandalized. So, yeah, there's a lot of negatives here.
Well, is it called Brighton Beach? Is that where you are?
Yeah, right. Brighton Beach, beach boxes. Okay. You get doing a quick listing.
I was curious because I remember seeing a story maybe 6 months ago. Actually, probably 8 months ago. It was just when it was summer in Melbourne. And did you see the story about the guy that got eaten alive by beach lice.
Oh, yes. Yes, so full on.
That was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen.
Mm.
Jesus. So this guy was standing still.
Oh.
I've just looked it up. If you Google bitten teen's dad films Brighton Beach sea fleas enjoying a meal.
All right, I can't even remember what three of the words you said there. It was like a weird combo.
Just type in Brighton Beach fleas. Oh, it is so full on. It is. Can you please Google it too? Brighton right. Beach fleas. And this kid named Sam basically was standing still in the water, and the fleas, like, he didn't realize, but they were eating him alive on the leg. And if the Age did an article, and if you scroll down, if you're squirmish, don't look at it, but if you scroll down, the amount of blood that has been. Are you seeing it?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I saw these photos.
Oh.
Crazy. It looks like something out of The Walking Dead. TV show reference. Sorry, you won't get it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Just looks like a zombie's leg that has like half been gnawed. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. I'm in the car park overlooking the crime scene of the flea incident.
anyone else there?
Yeah. No. This is the thing about car parks. It's like, and especially along when I say the coast, I mean just along the bay here. There's a lot of there's a lot of, what do you call them, beats, gay beats, where, you know, people go into the bushes. That kind of stuff, yes. And so I don't know about this one, but anytime I drive into a car park at night and there's cars in there, I'm always thinking, what's going on there? And so I'm that car right now. Oh, here comes a guy past me.
Is it Christian Hull?
No. He's a runner. Anyway.
He's a runner.
So this car park, a little story from when I was a younger 19-year-old. God, that's over 10 years ago. Holy shit. Yeah. Wow. Anyway, so my mate came and picked me up and we went for a drive. And, I mean, these are the spots where people just come in and chill as well as get hand jobs. And so we were with a couple of other people and he's like, watch this. We drove into the car park where we are, and he's like, I play this game. He had a high-vis top on, and he would drive up to the side of cars and just, oi, and he would have his high-vis on, and he'd wind his window right down, sort of like lean out the car. So, hey, mate.
Yeah.
And they'd open their window. Oi, so we're shutting up the car park in about 5 minutes, so we're all going to have to clean out. So thanks, mate. And we'd call it clean out the car park, and he'd see if he could clean out the Brighton car park. Dude, everyone listened to him. Oh, no problem, mate. I'll be off in a second. Literally, we would come in.
Because everyone's being dodgy. That's why, too, because everyone's like, oh, did he just see us making out?
There was making out with my ass. Josh, if you're worried about if someone sees you making out, there's nothing wrong with that. It's more about what
you
they're
said,
doing.
But the way that you said that, I thought you were saying that people were making out with their ass. But anyway, so what sort of car was he rocking to actually to pull this off?
A really shitty car. It was like, that was the best bit about it. It was like a Magna. Honda Magna, it was crappy. It's like a bit of paint coming off. Did not look like a vehicle of authority. It looked like fucking there'll be 17 monster cans on the back floor.
Troy Kinney, the comedian, he does a funny bit where he would take a ladder and see if he can just go into random places. And he's got footage of him just going past Flinders Street train station, just going straight through without a Mikey because he just had a ladder and they just let him straight through.
Yeah, it's a classic stitch-up. I was at a music festival once and this guy that I know found a high-vis vest on the ground It's probably someone who was partying. They were probably wearing it early because they thought it looked good. He put it on and then went around and I filmed him and he went up to people and said, yeah, excuse me, mate, I've got to see your ID. And people would fully pull out their IDs. Yeah, no problem. Here you go. They'd show, just checking that you're under, you know, you're over 18. It's like this.
Well, Jules Lund, who we had on the show on Friday, he is the best person to get into any Qantas lounge. I remember being at the, working with him at the radio show. And, you know, even with his platinum or whatever he had membership, you would only have a certain amount of people you could bring in. But it didn't matter how many people within our team we had. He basically would just say, you just have to do the stare. Just stare straight ahead, walk with confidence, and just go straight in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that worked surprisingly well. I think part of it might be the fact that he's Jules Lund and he was, the main face of Getaway, which was like an Australian travel show.
Yeah,
I feel like that could have something to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've used his name to get in places as well. So there's
I bet you have.
He's really just, given back to the community. I used his name in America and no one ever knew who he was. But I think it was the fact that I was confident enough to use a bloke's name. And it worked in nightclubs and fucking getting, tours. It was amazing.
Mate, the whole show that you were doing, the internet show, was called Suck on That Jules Lund. I mean, you couldn't leverage it any harder if you tried.
Yep. Thank you, Jules Lund.
I'm actually in a really good mood.
All right, good. I mean, Russ Keys wants to know because he's worried, as we discussed yesterday.
No, well, the funny thing is, I was in a shocking mood in the sense of I was just feeling stressed, and it's even more annoying when you feel stressed and you don't know why, and especially when you feel like you're in a bit of a privileged position, like you're on holidays. And so I think that like being in a bad mood or feeling stressed when you're on holidays, it's sort of, you can get into a bit of a loop where you get even more annoyed because you're like, you're annoyed that you're annoyed and you shouldn't be annoyed.
Yeah.
But I uncovered what it was, think that I've, or at least found a mechanism to feel better. I got it, and this has worked before, and it takes me a while sometimes to work it out, but maybe other people are feeling the same way. I got a notepad and I wrote down dot point to do list of everything that I need to do at the moment.
Yeah.
And what I discovered is even though I'm on holidays, I ended up writing 2 pages of to-do lists. It was like over 40 items that I'd been thinking about in my head, but I hadn't done anything, actioned it, hadn't written it down anywhere. And so what I think was happening was I was just constantly, any time that I was walking, I was just ticking through on my head of like the things that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I think because being on holidays, you sometimes let go of all of the structure and you're like, I've got no responsibilities. I don't need structure. And then what you don't realize is paying the car insurance is still in the back of your mind and it doesn't, and it nags at you.
Well, there's one thing that's not on the list, and that's check your PO box, because I got that covered, bro. So
have you actually checked it though?
Not since you last asked, but I will check it. So if it's on the list, take it off and I'll do it. I'll do it today.
Okay, perfect. I think I actually have off-screen magazines coming. So that's exciting. Yeah, you can open it.
That'll be good for me. That's what I actually like. It's basically my letterbox. And so
PO Box 400, Abbotsford, Victoria, 3067. If anyone has any mail for us, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Josh's personal mail, but it's a tax write-off for the show.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. You think that a holiday will remove that, but you are the person on the holiday, and that usually happens. So it's getting that clarity. It helps. I know that
huge.
Yeah, I've got jobs to do, or like juggling multiple tasks for work.
Mm.
That's when you can just go in and out of 5 different jobs, which is probably not that efficient when you should be sort of just delving in and doing some solid work on one. But then the reason I go in and out is because I'm thinking, oh, that one, you know, I haven't. And then I write it out like you're saying. It does really help. What else are you stressed about?
Because then you can also pick a thing. Like for me, it's here's a thing that I've, like, one of the things that has just been on my mind. Like I helped my brother's mate maybe 7 years ago set up his email and stuff on his and a domain name for his electrical business. He's an electrician.
Oh yeah.
And I'm still to this day paying for that domain name, and it renews, and it's like, it's just a bit of a pain in the ass. And his email went down maybe 2 years ago and was emailing, like, contacting me about it. So I then had to fix that. And I was like, I wrote down to transfer that domain name to him. And like, I'm even like, I've got him in my system as my host, so I can send, like, do it. Like, it's just that sort of shit.
Yeah.
So, like, doing that, made a big difference. But also clearing up my laptop. I just went on the desktop and just completely cleaned it, put a new wallpaper in the background.
Me.
So it feels nice and fresh.
Just me, just killing it in my 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
Tribute to Tommy.
Are you getting a little bit more sort of reflective of your 20? Like, what state are you at? Has anything changed since I last asked you about moving to your 30s?
Nah, I'm owning it. I'm just looking forward to celebrating it. It's a good time. I've got good things to look forward to. Great family.
Yeah,
lots to be grateful for. Healthy.
The gratitude thing is good, I think, too. It's like being able to, when you're in a funk, have, like, at the beginning of, I don't think I ever spoke about this on the show because it was before we started, but I, at the start of, I think it was last year, I started a gratitude diary where I'd write down what I was grateful for every morning. And then I had put on there once that like I was grateful for Bree or something like that. And then I realized that Bree had started to read my gratitude diary. So I made a point of every day to mention Bree in the gratitude diary for basically brownie points. And because it was something that she wasn't meant to really be reading, I felt like it was it had an extra level of shine to it.
And so, what was this? What I mean, other than if you saw her reading it, how did you know that she was reading it?
No, I think that she was just not like. I think I can't remember now. I don't know if she mentioned it. Like, I think she was just like, oh, like, extra curious about my gratitude. Like, oh, what are you grateful? What did you write today? Type of thing. And I was like, yeah, you don't normally care what I'm doing.
Mm.
What's going on here? She's like, oh no, just read it. What have you got? I'm like, oh yeah, I mentioned you. She's like, oh really? So I continued that.
For a time. And I think when stuff is, I mean, here's the hard thing. When stuff's going good, I've tended to veer away from doing those sort of rituals or habits, and it's probably the time that you should be sticking at them. But like, I know when I sort of had that transition out of in Shepparton, moved to Sydney, didn't really know what I was wanting to do, kind of knew the area I wanted to work in, and I would get up every morning and drive to Bondi. It was like a 5-minute drive. This is before we actually lived in the heart of Bondi. So I'd drive down to Bondi, I'd go to a cafe, and I'd write morning pages, which was just like three pages of just crap. Like, sometimes it would just be literally vomit from my brain, like nonsensical shit. But I always remember, like, it's almost like a child thing where you're like looking to see if other people are looking at what you're writing, but you don't, because you don't want them to read what you're writing. but I'm sure they don't give a shit what they're right, what you're writing. There's, a lot of people did ask, what are you doing? Because it seems weird. Really? I think a lot of people are confused by it's a bloke writing what looks like, you know, a dear diary. Yeah. And so people are
like, was it like a pink notepad with one of those little locks on it?
Well, I mean,
like a love heart key.
The Hello Kitty one was available and it was cheap, so I went with that. So maybe that, no. But yeah, people did say, what are you doing? And then I got in the great conversation of, oh, it's like to unleash creativity. And you know what? That's how it's sold, kind of like, you know, get your brain flow happening. And it did. It gave me clarity and it was. And I included the things like being grateful and all of that shit. But it did. It really, you know, I don't know if it was that or it was the fact that I was just doing this thing every morning where I'd go. But, you know, like the timing of it. And I made a video that I put out on my YouTube channel yesterday. And it's just about how timing has been really important in the things that I've done. And, you know, it's one aspect of the equation, timing, because there's also what you've been doing in the lead up to that moment. You know, like if you're looking at sort of a graph, you've got like your skill set or, you know, the action you've been taking and then timing. And sometimes it's like they overlap with an opportunity. And, you know, I remember sitting in that cafe doing those pages and for that reason, I saw a guy that I went to high school with in Bondi and he said, what are you doing for work? And I said, oh, not much. He said, well, what's your skills and stuff? I said, well, I can make videos. And he said, oh, awesome. Well, I might have something for you. I'll let you know. And then literally later that day, I got this message from him and said, call this dude. He's from my business. He manages this. He wants to see you. And then I started doing some freelancing for him. And at that point, like, I still wasn't convinced that I was the guy who makes videos yet, right? And so it's like the action of going to do that morning pages routine, you know, actually...
Put it into motion.
Yeah, put it into motion and created some momentum. And it's super cool.
One of my favorite quotes is, success is when preparation meets opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a perfect example, right? Like, you had the video skills, you were creating that, which then, you know, was that preparation for when the opportunity comes around.
Yeah.
And so...
And sometimes you don't even know that you're preparing, right? Like, I didn't think I was preparing. I was getting curious on cameras because I wasn't getting curious on camera. I was getting curious about cameras.
Getting curious on cameras with Tommy. What is sounds like quite a zany. You could start doing that in the car park.
So I didn't even know. Like, that wasn't my thinking behind it.
Yeah.
But it definitely, you know, like, you just can't discount the thing, everything, every little action that you do, because later down the track, you know, it might add to something or it might not.
Do you think people get too sort of hung up in trying to create that narrative? So it's like, I'm going to do this and then this is going to happen.
Well, I think they do because it's how it's communicated, right? So that video I made that I was saying and that was about timing, I know you've seen it, Josh, but I'll just give a little... or maybe you give a... Because I haven't spoken to you about it, you tell me what it was about. I'd like to hear.
So, no, it's basically, you know, about, it's about instincts. It's about you know, the story of you, you know, having this idea and feeling like you want to reach out to someone, and, you know, feeling insecure about it and unsure, but going with your gut instinct and putting yourself out there, taking a risk, and. Basically, you know, you reached out to Craig Harper, who we've had on the show, and said, you know, before you know, were friends with him, you know, you sort of bumped into him, you knew him as, I guess, a, you know, less than probably an acquaintance in some regards, and then said, yeah, hey, mate, I'd love to do video work for you. I'm not expecting any coin from this. And then, he wrote back straight away saying, I was just thinking about this, you know, what's your number? And, I think that that's like one of the things that I've been thinking about is the power of the cold email and how many opportunities. Like, we've got some really exciting stuff happening when we go to the US, and it's purely come about through sending a bunch of emails over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm even thinking about as we prepare for the US and as I'm, you know, getting everything lined up is how much I actually love sending cold emails and reaching out and connecting with people.
Yeah.
It's like so much fun.
Yeah, 100%. So someone could watch my video and then just go, oh, well, that's what I need to do, send a cold email, right? And their total thought behind it is, I want something from this person, which is essentially what the reality is and has been for me. But then there's this whole other, if you're looking at that timing, preparation meets timing, or
opportunity.
Opportunity meets this is preparation. Great.
When operation
no, you know
meets
what I mean.
Timing.
And so
I
think when it's like the times that it has worked for me have been when it has come from the heart. It sounds soft, but it's like I honestly have just approached it with this really genuine want to add value to someone. And when even when I say the word add value to someone, it's like when someone takes that, it's like, oh, well, I'll just offer this person this. It's like, it kind of is that, but there's this thing where it's like you feel it and you know it, that it is.
Who's fucking texting you at 6:28?
No, Telstra data. I've used 85% of my 60 gigabytes. Anyway.
We need a telco sponsor.
We use a lot of data.
These costs. Yeah.
So it's like, I think when you honestly, truly it aligns with this sort of genuine feeling, I think that's when it works. And so I could explain to somebody, here's a strategy to potentially land some new clients. It's like, that's what I hate. I hate wrapping it in that.
Yeah.
But it essentially is that. But I think when you approach it, and I think that's what I try and do with everything in the videos you watch, it's like, and someone actually said this, which is like, I think I'm in alignment with the sort of, branding that I'm putting out there for myself, which is like a genuine approach. Like, I'm telling stories that are honest and, you know, they're not forced, and I'm not trying to tell people this is the strategy for 10xing your business, but I'm just sharing some honest learnings that I've had. And so I think that answers your question.
I think it's also a long-term approach, right? It's realizing that, and being detached in some regards of being like, okay, what is it that we want? We want to live a fulfilling life. We want to be able to have connection with people. And when you put that as your key motivator, I know that the less I grip onto money, the more it comes my way. And that's not saying like be dumb about money or don't think about it from a business sense. But it's a paradox in many ways. I think that a lot of people that obsess about every dollar and trying to upsell every client and charge extra, that for me has never led to me giving the best sort of value that I can. And I feel like there's better ways of doing it than counting every dollar or every transaction.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's like the other journey that the person you're contacting, where they're at and what part of the journey are they on, and is it at a similar space, or does it align with yours? And the example I gave with Craig Harper is like crazy serendipitous. Like he's sitting there in his computer room just thinking about who can make videos for me, or who do I know that can make videos, and I popped into his inbox And so that is unbelievable timing that made him probably think, this is my guy. As much as, you know, I have been his guy, and then we've become really good mates.
Yeah.
It's, so you don't... You can
create those serendipitous moments, though, right? Like, yeah. The thing is that if you hadn't sent the email, that serendipitous moment wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
And so if you stay at home and you don't put your... So the only... If there was a formula to it, it's do more, have more conversations, put yourself out there, send the email, go to the event.
Mm.
And, you know, especially if you're a freelancer and you're working from home, I we've spoken about this. Like when I was starting my business, I remember the second year in February, being like, it got to the end of January and I'm like, I actually don't have any work for February. And I booked in 6 meetings in one day just to catch up with people, just to hang out. A couple of people had spoken about video stuff and it was like 3 out of the 6 people ended up getting me to do videos that month. And so it's always about doing something versus, you know, staying at home and getting depressed and, you know, not making that progress.
If the emphasis is on it yielding a result for you and that's your focus, that's when you're setting yourself up. But if you can honestly approach this and have faith that shit will work out, you know, and go, okay, no, I'm actually just going to catch up with these people or I'm just going to reach out and say something. It's like that at scale is... more powerful than messaging people going, hey, I make videos. Would you like, you know, to buy a video from me? You know, like I'm sure you'll get more business the other way.
This is the thing. Like I think the reason why I've been successful in, you know, doing, you know, what I've been doing and the production company is because it actually hasn't been the video part of it. You know, that is like I have been doing it for a decent chunk of time, so that's a given. But the other thing is I actually think it's because I'm a tech geek and I can help people in other ways. So half of those conversations with those people, it's like me talking about like them setting up a podcast and maybe you could do it this way or here's search engine optimization. Like I'm giving away value for free just because I want to help. And I'm interested in learning their business and what they're doing. And then they're also like, well, I also have this video thing. You have helped me with all this other stuff. Can you help me with this as well?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's helpful being useful. Like it's helpful. I think that, you know, you think about Mason, the legend who's been helping us with, you know, creating edits. You know, he created the throwback Thursday edit that we posted on our Instagram yesterday. It's like he actually is 18 years old and he's actually willing to learn and he's got a skill that can add value and that makes such a difference.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know what, and if you lack confidence, because I think about this, it's like it does take a level, or you might think that it requires a level of confidence, you know, to go to an event, go to a coffee shop and start talking to people, to send emails, which it kind of does, but it's like I actually don't have that confidence all the time. I also don't have, you know, the social anxiety that some people might, so that makes it a lot harder. But it's like sometimes you don't need that confidence to do this shit.
It's a muscle. It's literally a muscle, and it's that thing of like it does get easier the more you do it. And it's that reject therapy that Jules talks about too. It's like doing it all the time, getting, you know, if you send 100 emails and it doesn't matter if you don't hear back from 80 of them because you're going to have 20 to respond to.
This is a funny thought that I've had. And yeah, I'll just say, I was going to say it could sound vain, but it's like, I have this sort of view on my stuff and how I come across. And it's like, you know, it's in my head and it's how I feel about the videos I put out and the sort of person I'm communicating that I am. And then I see on the other side how people are interpreting that and what they're seeing and what they like about me and what I'm sharing, if that makes sense. And it's so funny because I'm reminded in these moments where people are making a comment about a video or talking to me about how I've done something or what they love about something. And it's like it in those moments, it reminds me of this other person that I am, because it's not the person who I think I am in moments. And so it's this,
like, when someone says to us, like, oh man, that video was so professional.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, fuck it. It's literally my job. This is like, I hope it's professional.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But it's a good, like, it is a wake up call. It's like, oh, you know, like, people, like, it's not a given. People don't, like, you know, we sometimes we can be up our own asses too far to actually realize the reality and the perception and the truth that we live.
Jeff Jowett, he messaged me, and this is a compliment that he gave me. And it's totally not how I see myself, but it was the best compliment, one of the best compliments I've had. He saw my video I did with Craig, and he said, I love you on camera, mate. You remind me of Ryan Reynolds. Smart, but funny as fuck. I just wrote back, best compliment ever. But it's like...
That's good. He didn't even use the word videographer, so you've done well.
But it's... you know, like, I don't see myself as all those things. Like, I'm not over here going, I'm fucking smart. I'm funny as fuck. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd make me create a bit more, but maybe I come across as an egomaniac. It's like, I'm dealing with my shit and I feel insecure. I feel fucking like I don't have any confidence sometimes in this stuff. And it's just like waves, right? And then people remind you of maybe what you were capable of. And, and yeah, it's a funny existence.
No, I think it's a good way to be. Dan Harris, who, you know, is the news anchor. He wrote the book 10% Happier. He talks about being in a state where, you know, you've got the butterflies in your stomach. You're not completely sure, and he says that if he ever loses that when he's on air, if he ever gets really confident, that's when he should be worried, because that's when he ends up fucking up.
Mm.
And so I think that this area that we're in, where, you know, we're always a little bit unsure, is probably the exact spot that we should be in. That's the ego in check. That's, you know, being real about who we are and where we're at.
Mm.
It's a daily talk show, everyone.
Just can I leave you with this?
Yeah.
Sitting in the car park, it's now light. I can see a lot more people. I will. I'll put a little boomerang up on our the Daily Talk
boomerang.
Show Insta. Well, because I'll do
what
the
are you do.
Well, I'll go from the computer, so my studio, up to see the cityscape. So
okay, beautiful,
mate. Don't
can
say
I be
I'm
in
not,
it?
Well, yeah, I'll get the video up. I'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
And so, I just had a thought. I saw a person walking. It was really dark, and I thought, ooh, a bit dodgy. Until I saw their dog, and I thought, you can trust a person that's walking with their dog. For some reason, it made me feel like I could trust them more. Whether it's reality or not, it could be a killer. It could be a pit bull that they're about to send.
Is this the final thought?
Savage. But it's,
this is like Jerry Springer.
My final thought is you can trust a person with a dog. Or no, people who are walking with a dog are more trustworthy.
Oh,
I don't know, because I...
Fuck.
Because I think you've got to care for that. I think they have to care for that. So there is a level of trust that you could give. See, a woman just walked past. She was one of the ones I said, oh, there's a person. I couldn't see who they were. They pulled up in a van and they got out, beanie.
And she's got the dog.
It was dark and they walked and there was a dog. But then she walked past. She looked like a lovely old lady. Just had a beanie on because it's cold. And she had a dog.
But does she have a dog?
She's got a dog.
Okay.
And she looks like, I'd trust her with my money.
Okay, great. But we'll give her $20. I don't know why you're giving her money. But, And everyone, enjoy your Friday. And check out our Instagram, the Daily Talk Show on Instagram, because Tommy's got this epic boomerang of where he is right now, and it includes me as well. So how could you get any better than that? Feel free to send us an email too. Fuck, we get hardly any emails nowadays. I think it's because we haven't been plugging it or reading out. Actually, before we go to Michelle, I should got to find out what is Michelle's actual podcast name. We had Michelle on episode 40
early
of
days.
the podcast. Yeah, and she's been smashing the podcast. I haven't listened to the latest episode, but I have was thoroughly, every episode that I've listened to, I've thoroughly enjoyed. I'm going to tell you what it's called right now. Do you want to say anything in the meantime before I
So I'm currently trying to just sort out this boomerang. What I'm establishing is that
I'm sorry,
when I pull it up to reveal the city, it's out of focus. So I'm dealing with a...
This is videographer life. Michelle's podcast is called Life of a Stranger. So if you type in Life of a Stranger, and it's got her on the as the picture and the podcast artwork. But yeah, it's so interesting. Her latest one's called Transsexuality, Religion, and How to Play Your Cards, which sounds super interesting. And it's a short one. It's like 28 minutes. It's a Daily Talk Show, everyone. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.